This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 238. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
The JSA returns, sort of, Bumpkin the hero, a Giles fake-out, and Tommy's off to see the rabbit. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, December 30th, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. Or you can subscribe in iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we did a special episode last week, so this would normally be 2 weeks of comics, but this week in comics, in terms of DC, was very slim pickings. Only two issues came out, and we think this all happened because of Amazing Spider-Man 700, the final issue of that series.
Mark, did you read about that?
I did, kinda.
Oh, it almost was enough to make me want to pick up that new Spider-Man series.
Yeah.
So what they did, and I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for anybody, but if you really wanted to read Spider-Man 700, you would have read it by now.
Right.
Is Peter Parker and Doc Octopus switched bodies. So one mind went into the other body, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So Doc Ock is in Peter Parker's body.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's what the whole series is going to be. Peter Parker dies in Doc Ock's body.
Ooh.
But Doc Ock is now Peter Parker's body with his memories.
So he's a bad guy or a good guy at this point?
Well, they think he might be a good guy, but you never know.
Oh, yikes. Switching bodies? I don't know.
It's like Freaky Friday.
Yes.
Freaky Friday in the Marvel Universe. Doesn't that make you want to read it?
Not really.
Okay.
JSA Liberty Files, The Whistling Skull, number 1 of 6 by Moore and Harris. So this is an offshoot of the old Elseworlds concept where they took a character and tweaked their history a bit or put them in a different time period. There were two previous volumes of this same continuity, JSA The Liberty File in 2000 and JSA The Unholy Three in 2003.
So this has nothing to do with the New 52?
Zero.
Oh, okay.
This is completely separate. So this concept sets the JSA back into the 1940s, which is where you would normally see them. Now they're recast as these government agents who just happen to have powers in some cases. In the beginning of the issue, we see these three characters who we've seen before in this continuity: the Clock, who's Our Man, the Owl, who's Dr. Midnight, and the Cat, who's Wildcat. And they're fighting along this new character, the Whistling Skull, who's kind of a fascinating concept. Looks like a skeleton. He has this factory-type whistle hanging from his skull.
But apparently, oh, well, maybe that's because we learn that later, that he's not always a skull.
Right.
Like,
somehow he can change back.
Is always a skull.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he can change back. So they're fighting this giant manga robot in Tokyo 1940, and then we cut back to a flashback, and apparently that's what the whole the rest of the series is going to be, this flashback. And so we follow the skull. And at least for the rest of this issue, we don't see anybody else from the JSA. This skull character and another character who later is dressed kind of like Spy Smasher. So it might be Spy Smasher. They're shown as kids in 1925. The latter is kind of dim, as you would say. And then we cut to Switzerland in 1940. So I'm wondering, as far as Skull, if he's some sort of reference to Mr. Bones. I don't know. Or is he a completely new concept? It almost seems like that the creators came up with this new concept and kind of jammed him into this other continuity. They said, oh, what can I do with this new character? Or maybe we'll find out he is an existing character. We'll see. So they drive this medical waste disposal truck slash train around Europe. They're going undercover to meet their contact, who's this bandaged man who appears to be like the Invisible Man, in that you see the end of his coat and then his glove, and there's nothing between them.
I thought you saw things behind his face, though, on the bandages. Well, I can't really remember.
Right, but I mean, that's the thing. Anywhere where he's not covered, you see behind him somehow. I don't know. They reach this safe house, and there's this mysterious girl who's sick, who bursts into this greenish flame. Maybe she's fire. I don't know.
Oh, that would be cool.
I don't know.
But that would be...
That would be JLA and not JSA.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a fascinating story with very impressive artwork, and I always wish that DC did more of these Elseworld-type stories. It was just fascinating, although you could, with very few subtractions, have put this in a completely different publisher. It would have nothing to do with DC. And it's, what, 6 issues?
Yes, 6.
Fables number 124 from Vertigo by Willingham and McManus. So there's been this backup story in Fables where they've only gotten 2 or 3 pages. And I don't know if this was the original plan or not, but I guess they decided we need to wrap up this whole storyline.
It so almost seemed like it was still being told in the short versions
exactly.
That would have been in the back of a Fables.
I think that's really what it looked like. And I think they did decide, oh, let's just do this all together in one issue and get it done with. So in this whole storyline, it's been this fight between the Emperor of the Kingdoms of Oz and one of the flying monkeys, Bufkin, who we've seen before in Fables. And so now Bufkin is victorious, and he's nominated to be the new Emperor, but he doesn't want the job. So he brings the original group together that was fighting with him in the first place and suggests that one of them become the emperor, but tells the others to be ready to revolt when the new emperor goes power mad. It's destiny.
But then little Lily the Flower Girl suggests breaking the kingdom up.
Right.
And I think maybe that's what happened.
Right.
Because, you know, when you later visit Oz, later being in the book,
right.
I guess, you have, you know, the Munchkin Land and, you know, the 5 different lands.
Right. Right.
So that maybe. That was kind of a nice little touch, I thought.
Mm-hmm. So he tells Lily they aren't, quote, built for romance, mainly because she's a little fairy and he's a monkey and they're very differently sized. He gets the magic rope to join them off on their various adventures, where we see him defeat these bad guys and save kingdoms. In one case, they wish he hadn't saved the kingdom because now the people have to think for themselves and... They liked how the emperor was taking care of them in that case.
He was giving them everything. It kind of reminded me of one of those Star Trek episodes where the computer is controlling everything. And
but now we have to think for ourselves.
Yes.
Bufkin and Lily do get together 3 different times. At one point, she's turned into an ape. Another time, he's shrunk to her size. And in a third case, they both become these Umpamas birds, who I assume is an Oz concept.
I'm not sure. I really did enjoy that. I just thought that was so nice.
Mm-hmm. So the rope at one point returns to go see the old Fables business office. And
well,
so
it seems like the rope doesn't really have any control over where he goes because nobody knows where the business office is.
Right. So he just happens to end up there at one point. And so we get a cameo by the head of Frankenstein in the wagon. And in the end, Bufkin and Lily retire. They die old and happy. And we'll see if and when this whole thing is referenced back in the main storyline. I have to assume it will be at some point.
Well, yeah, because we do see the rope goes back to Fable Town.
Right.
I really loved where they retired. They built a cottage under the lunchbox tree. I would like to retire there.
Angel in Face, Season 9, Number 17 from Dark Horse by Gage and Isaacs. So this issue begins with a flashback to an early battle when Giles was still active and not dead. And he meets this new character, Ripper. Now, is this
Giles is Ripper.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That.
When this was established in the TV show.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
So when Giles was young,
yeah.
He kind of rebelled against the Watcher School.
Okay.
and he dropped out for a while, and he was known as Ripper. They always talked about doing a Ripper TV series, but never quite got around to it.
Okay.
So he was a bad boy, not Watcher, but had been to the Watcher school. So when they talked about the guy who dropped out of the Watcher school, that's Giles.
Okay.
Who's also known as Ripper.
Okay. Well, okay.
Because his first name was Rupert.
Rupert, I see.
Giles. So Ripper from Rupert.
Okay. Well, then later in this issue, you'll have to explain to me what happened, because then I have no clue what happened. So back in the present, Angel and Faith have it out, and she says her debt is paid to him, and now he owes her. And then we go back to the apparently alive Giles, and we learn the Slayer group does not know who he is.
Right.
So that was the question I had from the last issue. He does some magic and brings one of them back to life, and then Angel and Faith are looking for Giles' body, and they learn from the ants that Ethan Rain is involved.
Okay, and Ethan Rain was also in the TV series.
Okay.
He was a bad guy.
Okay.
He was, so what happens is that back when they were trying to raise this demon, right? And mm-hmm. that's what the mark on all their arms was.
Right.
Okay. And then the demon, they raise the demon, but then they succeed in getting rid of him in this book. Do you mm-hmm. remember that part?
Yeah.
Except there's a part of the demon in all of them now.
I see.
So the part that's in the Giles body now is the demon that they raised.
And he's
bringing other demons in and putting them into their bodies.
Okay. And he's not Ethan Rain then?
No, he's Ethan Rain's body. But he's not the demon. But he's the demon, not actually Ethan Rain's spirit.
Okay. Well, so we learned that the ants met him, Ethan Rain's body, apparently, at Giles' funeral, but he was already dead at that point as a character.
Yes.
So the Slayer is brought back to life by Giles, supposedly, but can't remember her name. And we learned that he just put another soul in her body, but apparently it's another part of its demon.
Yes.
So Giles is actually part of the demon in Giles' body.
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'm going to have to go back and start watching these series to understand what's going on in this comic book.
Well, we could take a break from Star Trek if you wanted and watch Buffy and Angel. I really enjoy them. Or we could alternate.
Yeah. Because clearly I got lost in this issue, because I just assumed this Ripper was a different character, and no. He was the one in control.
No.
Okay.
And everybody always wanted a Ripper series. I think it would be really interesting.
The Unwritten number 44 from Vertigo by Carrie and Gross. So Tom is in the land of the dead and ends up meeting the kids from the prison storyline way back when.
I really liked seeing those kids again.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really sad the way they killed them off.
Right.
You know, it was really sad. So it's nice to see them bringing them back and not having forgotten them.
Even though they're kind of stuck in this limbo area.
But maybe they won't be stuck there forever.
Right. So he has to get to the king, who's on this island, and has to get Sharon to ferry him there. The whole bit of, going across
Greek mythology.
Yeah, the Greek mythology thing. And we cut back to the literary sisters who are finishing off the unicorn. And it's a phrase you don't hear very often.
I love that scene. That was funny. It was macabre.
Yeah. Because the now beheaded unicorn is still spouting this poetry / warning, whatever it is.
Prophecy, yes.
Prophecies. And they're like, well, we have to shut him up. So they just throw his head into the pot. Into the pot.
Oh, now see, there's a couple things I'm thinking there. I'm thinking, oh, if they eat this magical prophesying unicorn, are they going to all become mad prophesying people?
Ooh, that's interesting. So we go back to Tom. Always in Greek mythology, there's all this,
how do you trick the ferryman into...
Yeah, into taking you across the river? Well, he just beamed him in the head and knocked him out and just took the boat. One point, he meets a tree who's one of his old teachers. And we keep getting these cutbacks to, for some reason, his high school, Tommy's high school. We go back to South Wales, where Danny is still reading the stories aloud, because that's what he's supposed to do to hopefully get Tommy back. And he falls asleep, and in his dream, these wolves arrive and tell him, well, you're going to kill Tommy at some point in the future, and we can show you where it's going to happen if you come with us.
And you know, I'm sorry, but I keep expecting to see the dreaming show up or one of the other endless in this because it just seems so closely related to that.
Oh, absolutely.
But then I remember, oh, no, this isn't Books of Magic.
So we go back to Tommy, who's on the Lake of Fire, and as I mentioned, keeps seeing these high school references. There are these dead students from his class warn him. Of course, they're now these fire beings inside the Lake of Fire. They reach the island, and they find Cerberus, who ends up licking Tommy. These harpies attack, but they manage to get inside the castle and find on the throne the rabbit.
Oh, the evil rabbit.
The evil rabbit.
So even though this appeared to be either purgatory or hell from the Dante's Inferno,
right.
It actually seems to be maybe the rabbit's creation of hell.
It does seem to be that way, doesn't it? Well, unfortunately, no Who's on the Cover this week due to double issue and the holidays. So,
but if you wanted to just guess somebody, I'll think of someone. It's just in my mind. No, okay.
Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek DS9 and Justice League animated series reviews.
And very soon, Buffy.
Yeah, I guess. And you can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.